The only element which is so troublesome is the money
Money
involved.
part.
But in this world,
Nothing works without money.
no, in this world we are moving in such a manner that if you criticize it so much, then ultimately even that effort is gone, we should not do. We should say, yes, these are not like United Nations organization. It's not a perfect organization. It's not true that all nations are equal in United Nations. The five nations are given place in Security Council. And ultimately, any member of the Security Council can bombard any decision. So, this veto power given to the members of the Security Council shows some kind of imperialism. All other nations have to nod their heads. They can debate, but they cannot take a decision.
And even then, also the US attacked Iraq, and nobody could say anything.
No, because of veto power.
Nobody could even say that, okay, US is not supposed to be doing all this.
Yes, so if there is a kind of a resolution that there should be no attack on Iraq. Then USA, we veto the decision of the United Nations. So you may disagree, but we shall go ahead. So this kind of possibility still exists in the present world situation. But for that reason, you can't say that unless all agree right from the beginning, we won't even allow it to come into existence, then movement becomes impossible. So nature also knows how to work out its own steps, allows compromise here, allows some kind of patchwork there, then a fervor movement there, resistance over there, struggle over there, fight somewhere. Ultimately, in a muddling manner, it works out its own design. As I was saying, for any idea of perfection, you should have first of all an attempt to arrive at the essence. Secondly, there should be adequate expression of the essence, adequate expression. And adequate expression would mean the elements of expression are so arranged that there is an equilibrium. All the elements are put into some kind of equilibrium harmony. Thirdly, it should be such an equilibrium that it allows progression, further and further progression. To arrive at that position is perfection. It's not maximization.
It will be maximization. If it does not include the element of further progression, endless progression,
yes.
It will be maximization.
Yes, absolutely. Quite right. So, real perfection should be in expression, capable of harmonizing elements concerned to such an extent that it arrives at an equilibrium. Till that time it is imperfect. But if you arrive at an equilibrium, then you say now it is perfect. Child for the first time saying ma, he has been able to put the two lips together and the voice coming out of, even though the lips are closed and yet the sound comes out, that equilibrium of closing the lips and the sound and in the right manner and spontaneously coming out, he said, perfect. The child has spoken perfectly. And you can have gaga over it because the child has achieved that perfection. He can pronounce the word so clearly, articulately. And even after that, if he now takes up another word, papa, it's two words together. And the movement from Ma to Papa is also progressive. So if that movement is allowed, you can say, whole thing is so perfect. My child is perfectly developing perfectly well. Similarly, when Bertrand Russell said that his relationship with his wife for 1 year was perfect, what he wanted her to do, she was doing automatically, spontaneously. What she wanted from him was available so spontaneously. Environment was perfect. They could live together, beak into beak, and perfectly well. His perfection. All the elements are in harmony, in equilibrium. The only problem of human life is that such equilibriums don't last. And suddenly something else happens and the difficulties of human life arise.
I read a book long time ago and it was stuck in my mind. They say that the human being has the capacity to recall to whatever level of perfection they had reached in their previous lives. And that sets the parameter in to begin the new life from that stage.
You are right. I mean, it's a fact that is the meaning of a rebirth. You might have reached a certain point in your past life. Now, in your new life, you continue where you are left.
It didn't say in that perspective. What it meant was that if the circumstances in your present life do not give you or do not facilitate that kind of perfection, it's what you have in your mind to aspire for, basically. Because when you look around you, you find that people are satisfied so little. The problem is that you want to just go forge ahead because you have at one time glimpsed that degree of perfection, which is not accessible to you now. Experience of perfection in any emotional, material, anything.
It is true in the sense that there's no mathematical equation in it, but it is a fact that a certain point is reached in a given life and death occurs when you cannot move forward. If it is possible to move forward, death does not come. This is one very important criterion. Although death is a law, usually the death comes to an individual when he has reached a critical point and his further development is not possible in the given circumstances and in the body, because the greatest circumstance of everybody is his body. So in those circumstances, if he cannot make a progress, then the soul decides to withdraw from the body. So that a new body is chosen to continue the upward movement that he was on. Now, even their upward movement is a very ambiguous term. It may be continuation of where one was in the past life. It may be even a new method of acquiring what you had already attained in the past life, in other circumstances. A prince may take a birth in a beggar's house because he wants an experience to look at the world from a different angle. One angle was seen, But now he wants to see another angle, and he might have a different, altogether different circumstance. But while doing so, he still has got the benefit of the experience that he has gained earlier. A soul which has never enjoyed the king's rule, and he is born as a pauper right from the beginning, will have one attitude in his life: hankering after princely pleasures. Whereas in this other man, it won't be hankering after pleasures of the prince. He will really like to learn in a different circumstance. An emperor might be born in a servant's house. He won't hanker after empire now in this new body. That experience is gained. Even now in birth, even as a child, who is an emperor, psychologically is an emperor. In physical terms, he may not be. And sometimes, therefore, many people feel quite out of tune. You start a journey from a different angle and try to learn how the world looks when you are not an emperor. And you enrich your experience and so on. You may be a painter in your past life. You may now become a musician in the next life. A new instrument of experience. That's why there are so many levels of experiences. That's why India spoke of 84 lakhs of yonis. So imagine, and they are, according to me, quite right actually, because even in one birth, how slow is progression? If you examine the way in which you develop, it is so slow. And also something of the past is also lost, in the sense that you have forgotten what you were in the past. To come back to the point where you were already in a given past life also takes a time. Even going to school and learning new language and all that. Yes. So, but psychologically, you are not learning a language. You are experiencing the life itself. Angle of experience. What is important in human life is angle of experience. From what point of view you are experiencing. You might have never enjoyed clerkship in your past life because you have been king all the time. And now you are taking a clerk's place. Now what are your difficulties as a clerk? That experience of servitude, which was not there in your temperament at all, it has got to develop. Ultimately, the aim of birth and rebirth is to arrive at a point where you can combine wisdom, heroism, harmony and skill. It's an equilibrium of these four powers. And then over ever and ever you can manifest fully. If you can reach that point, it is a point of perfection in your life. Sri Aurobindo speaks of perfection from perfection, perfection to perfection, knowledge to knowledge. It is no more from ignorance to knowledge, it is from knowledge to knowledge. It is ever expanding. So that possibility is now much more easily available. Therefore, even in the present life, if your circumstances can change more easily, and that is what is happening today. The circumstances of human life are rapidly changing. It was not happening earlier. Therefore, you don't need to die to gain a new way of looking, new view of things.
You can change your circumstances so rapidly.
So rapid, you can change them very rapidly. Even facilities, even divorcing, for example, is a facility. So not so easily available in ancient times. You are stuck, stuck for life, and you all the time aspire what is to be done in the next life, or who knows in the next life what will happen. It is the mobility of social circumstances which makes soul evolve more and more powerfully, more and more easily. And this, when mother says that today circumstances are such that what can normally happen in 30 years, you can do in 6 months' time, it is because of that reason. You cannot normally migrate from one circumstance to the other. I migrated from the ashram to Delhi in a highest position, I mean suddenly. It happened because of supermind. It cannot normally happen at all in my life. The kind of experience I gained in the last 30 years so rapidly from one point to the other, and the change of circumstances so radical, so different from one point to the other, it is because of the mental work which is going on. As it were, supermind is creating conditions so fast that many things which you would have taken in 5-10 births, I have been able to do in one birth. So, it is very true. Yeah?
I'm an ordinary housewife to come to Shiharin.
Yeah, that is true. You are right. It is supermind at work. It's not easy to get time, circumstance, and it's not easy. Life is so full of problems normally, and such rigidities of life, that it's a miracle that for 2.5 years we are together, day after day. It's a miracle. Human life cannot be designed in this way at all. So, to allow this kind of circumstance is one of the great achievements of supermind on the earth. And this is multiplying in the world all over. Many circumstances are being built in the world which are very conducive. Now people may not recognize that it's supermind which is creating that circumstance. But it is. It is opening out with avenues of experience and helping all of us. The moment you aspire, a result is given by the mother immediately, very soon. In fact, all of us who went to the mother, I must say that we have cut our 1,000 births in one birth. I mean, that kind of progression you feel, that such a thing can would have taken 1,000 births.
Look,
we
had to put across to children, what would affection mean in lower terms?
You are right. You have to, it's a good question actually, what is perfection? It's not maximum, it is equilibrium of expression out of essence.
So even to inspire them to go on the road to perfection.
Yeah, that is to say, road to perfection lies in inspiring children to ask what is essence. Always put the idea of essence. Mother says that if you want to give mental education, you develop first a central idea around which ideas can be organized. You see, if you bring that book on education, it's a very important thing. How mental education is taught. It's the shortest but the greatest exposition. 12, I think.
It's required to even differentiate between maximization and perfection.
Yes, quite true.
So it's the idea of...
Yes, it's clearer. When can you say a human being has reached the level of a thinker. We all think that to reach a level of a thinker, what is a thinker? A thinker is one who first of all grasps the essence. He may hear the whole book or read the whole book. You are not a good thinker if you cannot say what is the essence of the whole book. You may see the film Tal, and somebody says, what is the essence of the whole film? Actually, the word Tal, which has been given as a title, is a misnomer of the whole thing. It is to emphasize, because the modern mind today is attracted to all the rhythm and noise and so on, so it's all right. But otherwise, basic story is a very good story. It is not merely the music that catches the film. Basic idea is that it gives within a short time the human experience of love. And how through the different phases of love, the essence of love is grasped, which consists of understanding and sacrifice. Unless these two things are brought out, to say I love you, unless you understand the other, and unless you are prepared to sacrifice, you are not loved. It is only utilitarian relationship, but not love. Now this is the essential idea around which the whole story is woven. So a thinker is one who is able to say, oh, the essence of the story is the rhythmic dance. It's not true. Although the name is Tal, or the beat, but actually speaking, it's not the beat. It's not the dances, so many full of dances, not the real story. It's not the illustration of a dancer's life. It is the essential story of the theme of love, human love. You might say even inner story is the reaffirmation of the Indian idea, the message of the old mother to the man. It is a real story actually. It may not have been told so explicitly, but inner story is that story. The conflict between two sets of ideals and affirmation of the superiority of the earlier ideal, but in their modern times, how it can be affirmed and what expression it can take. That's why this film is so great, basically. It's not merely the dances and music, but this is the spirit of its essence. Now, a good thinker is one who, once he sees a book, he can tell you what is the central idea, the essential idea. It is like Will Durant wrote 11 volumes, and then he wrote ultimately a book called Lessons of History. It's a very short book. It's a very great, a man, after studying the whole history of the world, if he wants to tell you what actually he has learned out of history of the world, even if it is 5 hours, it is worth. So, it is this kind of thing that is necessary for modern world, that you bring out the quintessence, the great idea, the central idea. So a central idea is an essential point around which all the ideas can be woven together. For example, A good thinker is one who arrives at the concept of the Brahman Purusha Ishvara. If you ask a poet, the greatest idea, the most central idea under which all ideas can be woven, is to assert that there is a reality which is Brahman Purusha Ishvara. Once you grasp this idea, life only becomes a dance around this idea. Life actually is nothing but rhythmic dance. The greatest joy of life is when your movement of life becomes rhythmic dance. It's a Shiva's dance actually. Our life is not rhythmic dance because we have lost the center. It is only when you find the center that you can dance around it. Otherwise, you can never dance properly. Every dance, to be perfect, has to have a center around which there are rhythms and all kinds of movements. All human life will be completely satisfied if it can have that rhythmic dance around, that is important. Mere dancing is not satisfying. It is only when we had a story of Chowda Devi in Gujarat. Chowda Devi was a daughter of, you might say, courtesan, of a very high level. But she wanted her daughter to be brought up as a great bhakta of Shiva. It was her ideal for her daughter. So she put her into the great temple of Somnath. At that time, Somnath was a great temple. This was before Ghazni came, or around the time of Ghazni's invasion. And she gave the idea that your husband, your life, everything is centered on Shiva. And she taught her exquisite art of dancing. And the mother taught her that your great fulfillment would be every day you should dance naked before Shiva, because he is your everything. And she used to do this, and she was one of the, she reached the great climax to dance around Shiva. I mean, she, all the bhavas of whatever highest bhavas you can have in dance are available when you surrender to Shiva. You may move about, ultimately, a complete self-surrender to Shiva. When you experience this, it's like acme of your fulfillment. And she used to do this. She became a young woman. And even then she used to dance before Shiva in the same way. Her fame was very great. And she used to become so ecstatic about her dance that she became very exclusive about it, in the sense that she would see that even when she would not dance before anybody. Now the king, Bhandev, had heard of hers. And he told his ministers and everybody, I want to see her dance before Shiva. That was his great desire of his life. Ultimately, he is allowed an entry, secret entry, into the temple when she was to dance. And he enjoyed the whole dance of Chowda Devi before Shiva. It was the most ecstatic experience for the king. Such beauty, dancing before Shiva with so much of power. It's the greatest intoxicating experience of life. So he sent next day the word to her that he wanted to marry her. So she just spurned the idea of marrying a king. She was king of the Gujarat at that time. It was the greatest thing to happen in life. She spurned the idea. She said, I'm already married to the Supreme Lord. My life is only for him and nobody else. Now this is the background of the story. Now it so happened that Muhammad Ghazni came, invaded this temple. And a battle took place. And at that time Bhimdev came specially to Somnath from Patan. Patan was at that time the capital of Gujarat. So he came from Patan to Somnath. And he fought against the army. And Chowda Devi happened to see from the terrace of the temple the whole battle. And she found Bhimdev fighting the enemies with such valor and such tremendous capacity to slaughter the enemies that she found he was Shiva incarnate. She became extremely pleased with him. One who can protect the temple with so much of valor and so courageously and heroically. It cannot be but incarnation of Shiva himself. So it was in that context she agreed to marry him. That you are incarnate Shiva, therefore I will marry you. After the marriage, ultimately, Bhimdev was defeated in the battle, ultimately. And he saw she saw the human Bhimdev, not incarnate Shiva, but human. And ultimately she went to him and said, I am disillusioned. You are too human for me. And you should pardon me for everything. But it is no happiness for me to live with you. I want only one thing in my life, to dance before Shiva. And Bhimdev also was a great man, and he said, if that is your disillusionment, what can I do? I am what I am. And I am very happy that you want to devote your life to Shiva. What great thing can happen in life? So she ceased to be the queen, and she came over back to Somnath and gave her life only to dance before Shiva. Now this is a story, it's a very important story in the history of Gujarat. But it is a very important story in the sense that the highest satisfaction of life is when the life can dance around a center which is supreme. And you can dance only before the supreme. It is only when we have found the central reality, and when you want to join your life before the central reality, then the life will become rhythmic and perfect. And that is the fullest satisfaction of life. The reason why human beings are not satisfied with life is that first of all, they have not discovered the center. Center which is supreme, all-inclusive. And we don't know how to dance before him, in service of him. We don't have the skill, nor capacity, nor the rhythm, nor the music, nor all the combinations of your life by which you can dance before Him. This is why life is always dissatisfactory. It is when you find the center, then the life can move rhythmically, and there's a full satisfaction of life. See, in the Life Divine, there's a very nice sentence. That one sentence is so great.
Only in such a complete and catholic affirmation, in all the multiform and apparently contradictory data of existence, be harmonized and the manifold conflicting forces which govern our thought and life discover the central truth.
Central truth.
Which they are here to symbolize and variously fulfill. Then only can our thought, having attained the true center, ceasing to wander in circles, work like the Brahman or the ocean, fixed and stable, even in its play and its worldwide course. And our life knowing its aim, so... So it with the serene and subtle joy and light as well, with the rhythmically discursive energy.
Isn't it? Absolutely perfect statement. Once you discover Brahman, Purusha, Ishvara, the Supreme Reality, this definition itself, this particular discovery, is itself a key to the perfection of life. Once when you can relate all the ideas ultimately issuing from this idea, you have discovered the central idea in which all the ideas of the whole world, you can have millions of ideas. All these millions of ideas have one center, Brahman Purusha Ishvara. So you must arrive, so that's why philosophy is very important. Because by philosophical thought, you come to determine that everything in the world can be explained only if reality is Brahman Purusha Ishvara. It's a central idea. And if you don't have that central idea, your mind will wander all the time. This may be true, this may be true, that should be true. But once you have discovered this idea, then the mind will settle. And once the mind is settled, the life itself will rhythm, will dance with joy and with rhythmic discursive movement. All forms of life, it will rhythm. All the time it is only worship of one, like Chola Devi dancing around Shiva, and that gives a complete satisfaction. Complete fulfillment of life is to be able to dance around Shiva. So, what is all that is to be taught to children basically is only this. You should arrive at this point.